Our reading for Monday, April 13th, is going to start in John chapter 12 and verse 27. John chapter 12 and verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say, as the Father has told me. John seems to use a lot more from later in the ministry of Jesus than the other gospel accounts. I made mention to you on yesterday's reading that these particular things come later in the other gospel accounts, especially Matthew and Luke. But I think that's just to fit the purpose of John so that you may believe, and so there's more toward the end of the ministry that John wants to account for than the others. And so we already see fairly early on these points where Jesus is talking about his death, talking about being lifted up. I think that they understood what he meant when he said lifted up, considering that they make this question of, well, we've heard that Christ remains forever. How can you say he must be lifted up? They understood that to mean a death, and perhaps even understood that to mean a death on the cross. So Jesus starts out in this particular section talking about his soul being troubled. And this is something that has always struck me, because as Jesus living in the flesh of man, combined with him being deity and knowing all things, this would have brought a great stress on him the closer he comes to the point in which he will be put to death. It's not so much that he does not want to fulfill the will of God, and it's not that he does not want to be the sacrifice that brings about the forgiveness of sins, but that as a man here, he realizes how terrible that's going to be. And so, yes, it's going to trouble him. It's going to create that stress and concern. And he makes this statement, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. He's asking, you know, what would I say? I mean, it would be contradictory for me to say, save me from this hour, since this is the whole reason I'm here. And verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice comes from heaven. This does not happen often. As far as we can tell, three times in the gospel accounts do we see the silence of heaven being broken. And so this is something extraordinary. And the voice says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus being the Lamb of God and being sacrificed, you know, one who is put on the cross, that was somebody who was a great sinner or a great criminal, that terrible thing would be done to them. And so you might say they are the bottom, the dregs of society. But that's not so with Jesus. Even though he endured such a terrible, terrible death, the fact is he was coming to fulfill a glorious purpose. So he's not the dregs. He is the very top. He is glorified in this, and he will be glorified. And so the crowd hears it. They say that it sounded like thunder. I can't imagine what hearing, you know, the voice of God from heaven would have been like. But it would not be something you could mistake as normal. It would have been something you could say is extraordinary and extra normal. And so they figure it's thunder or an angel has spoken. But Jesus said that the voice didn't come for his benefit. It came for the benefit of those that heard it. And then verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, where the victory over sin and victory over Satan himself. When I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. That gospel that goes out, the Lamb of God sacrificed for sins, will be that drawing point for those that are willing to seek him, willing to hear, that will open their hearts. And he was showing what kind of death he was going to die. That's when they ask him this question. You know, the Christ was to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? And so they're wondering, if he is the Christ, then who is the Son of Man? Or if he's the Son of Man, he's going to be lifted up, then who is the Christ? They're disconnecting the two when Jesus is trying to tell them that the two are one and the same. And Christ remaining forever is not an antithesis of him being sacrificed or being lifted up. So then verse 35, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. You know, allow the light to illuminate and guide you instead of walking in the darkness and just sort of being aimless. Believe in that light so that you may become sons of light. He doesn't directly answer their question. He just goes back to, well, believe. Believe in what you see. After this, Jesus departs, goes away from them. And it says, though he had done many signs, they still did not believe in him. Understand that when he says they still did not believe in him, he's not saying every single person disbelieved, but he's talking about the whole, the greater part. And that was so that the words of the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. So, therefore, they could not believe. Verse 39, he has blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts. In other words, it was part of the plan of God that the leadership wouldn't accept him because they were going to be the ones to bear that false witness, take him to the Romans, demand that he be crucified, and so that he could be that sinless sacrifice, that he did not deserve of being put to death. Says, nevertheless, even of the authorities, there were those that believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so they'd be put out of the synagogue. So again, it's not everybody that didn't believe. There were some, and there were even those that were part of the authority that believed in him. But verse 43, speaking of those, they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So they were willing to hide themselves and being those secret disciples, if you will. Sometimes we call them that. Then Jesus goes back to this unity, if you will, between he and the Father, crying out, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. You can't believe in Jesus and not believe in the Father. And likewise, you can't believe in the Father and not believe in Jesus, since the Father sent Jesus to be the Christ. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. In order to know the Father, you have to know Jesus. Verse 46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. And understand, he makes that statement, but the words that he brought, being the word itself, do judge us. That is the standard by which we are judged. Verse 48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. So he's not separating the two, but he's saying my role is to bring the word, then be the sacrifice. But the word that he spoke will be that judge. Verse 49, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me himself has given me a commandment what to say, what to speak. He's not doing anything of his own. He's doing it completely by the plan and the will of God. Verse 50, I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Everything is because it is the will of God the Father. They are completely unified. And there is nothing that Jesus did that was outside of that will or by his own will. So that brings us up to chapter 13, where we will start tomorrow. Thank you again for listening to these daily readings. I hope and pray that they are of benefit to you. Continue in prayer that we may make it through this isolation, and that everyone will be well if it be the will of God, and that God will bless us in our efforts to maintain our spiritual purity and our spiritual growth during this time.